Hi, so I'm going to talk a little bit today about the influence of parents and peers on youth condom use across adolescence in a sample of urban African American youth, while also taking into consideration the youth's own substance use. I just realized that I have 5 more minutes than I thought I did for this presentation, so I won't need to sound like a cattle auctioneer when I go through this, but I have nothing to disclose. However, the analyses that we did for this particular paper, they're probably more complex than I'm going to present today. I'm not going to get bogged down in a lot of the statistical details and just present broad strokes, but I am happy to answer any questions at the end if anyone wants more details. So we know in the US that African American youth are at disproportionate risk for HIV infection. African American youth aged between 13 to 19 account for 70% of all HIV/AIDS infections. However, despite this, we don't know very much about how social and environmental factors, particularly parents and peers, intersect to either promote or to reduce sexual risk behavior as these youth age. Now, there's a large literature, and Natasha spoke to some of it earlier, that shows that family and peers are important in the sexual development of youth, including sexual risk behavior as well. However, the effects of these interrelated domains on sexual behavior across adolescence are not well understood, particularly in African American youth. Most prior studies are cross-sectional, and if you think about it, adolescence is a period of characterized by a lot of change, and the role and the influence of parents and peers may change over time. And so it's important to really understand the influences of these domains as youth age. We also know, as Natasha and folks here have pointed out, that there is a strong association between substance use and risky sexual behavior in youth. This association or this relationship is pretty complex, not likely just simply causal, so as a result of the acute effects of intoxication. But interestingly, the same parent and peer risk and promotive factors that are associated with substance use in youth are also those that are associated with risky sexual behavior. So it's possible that we thought that substance use, the youth's own substance use, may mediate the association between parent and peer factors and their sexual risk behavior. So in a sample of urban African American youth that we followed across adolescence, we essentially sought to identify both the direct effects of family and peer factors on youth condom use across time, but also their indirect effects via youth substance use. And so in order to do that and ask those or answer those questions, we had to ask three specific questions, and they're written here, but I actually have created a figure. Sometimes I feel like that's perhaps easier to understand. So this was our basic conceptual model. And I'm going to explain in a little bit the family and peer risk and promotive factors and what that actually consisted of. But initially, our first question was, we wanted to see what were the association between these family and peer factors and youth substance use. We then wanted to look at what the association was between these factors and youth consistent condom use, while also addressing the youth's own substance use. And then finally, we wanted to put it all together to see if we could examine the indirect and the direct effects. And I'll explain more about that in a second. So these data were drawn from the Flint Adolescent Study, which is an 8-year longitudinal study of youth followed from mid-adolescence to the transition to young adulthood. The current study focuses on the first four waves, so when the youth were in 9th to 12th grades. So this is a school-based sample. They were initially recruited in the beginning of the 9th grade from 4 public high schools in Flint, Michigan. They were given structured face-to-face interviews at baseline, obviously, when they were in school, and then at the subsequent follow-up interviews, they were interviewed irrespective of whether they were currently enrolled in school or not. But for the current analyses, we're just going to focus on the African-American youth, which comprise 80% of the total sample. And they're about, in this sample, they're about half female, and the mean age at wave one was almost 15. So our outcome was condom use frequency, or how often have the youth used a condom when having sex in the past year. We also, in our analyses, adjusted for the number of sex partners in the past year, as again, there's this very strong relationship between likelihood of using a condom and having a sex partner. For the youth microsystem, youth substance use, we looked at alcohol use and marijuana use, and that was basically the frequency of use of either substance in the past 30 days. And then the promotive factors. Now, we wanted to examine cumulative factors in each of these domains, promotive and risk, because it's been argued that examining more than one factor, you may be able to, particularly with promotive factors, identify a true promotive effect. That if you just look at one specific factor, you may miss it. So for the family promotive factors, we looked at parental support and family involvement. And for the risk factors, we looked at parent drug use and family conflict. And here you can see some examples of the items that were used. For the peer promotive factors, again, we looked at friend support and also friends' pro-social activities. And for the risk factors, we looked at friends' substance use and friends' delinquent behavior. And these are all factors that have been identified in the literature as being associated with both substance use and risky sexual behavior in youth. So for the data analytics strategy, we used HLM, using both linear and nonlinear growth curve models to model both substance use and youth condom use across adolescence. So consistent with the three questions that I discussed at the beginning, our analyses also had three phases. In the first phase, we modeled substance use across time, and including both family and peer risk and promotive factors. In the second phase, we then modeled sex risk behaviors across time, and again included family and peer promotive and risk factors. And then we also included the youth's own substance use. And then finally, to look at the relationship of these factors on youth sexual risk behavior via the youth's own substance use, we conducted a path analysis. We also examined the interactions between family and peer promotive and risk factors. None were significant, so I'm not going to present them here, but we did look at that. So this first graph shows the growth curve model for substance use across adolescence. And here you can see that substance use increases as youth age and then begins to decrease as they reach older adolescence. And that's somewhat consistent with what we find in national trends. And can I borrow your pointer? Thank you. And here you can see... Maybe. The very top line is represented by youth who have family and peer environments that are characterized by high risk. And then the bottom line here are youth who have peer and family that are characterized by both by low risk. And so you can see that falls out as you would expect. So when we looked at family promotive and risk factors in addition to peer risk and promotive factors, on the association with youth substance use, we found that only family risk and peer risk factors were associated. There was no effect of promotive factors at all, suggesting that for this particular sample of African American youth, risk factors may offset the potential promotive effects of protective factors. So that says that. This next growth curve model is for condom use across adolescence, and here you can see it's a very inverse, an inverse U, so that condom use increased as youth age, but then started to decline as youth reach older adolescence. And again, these are consistent with trends that we see in national data sets. So examining this portion of it, we found that when we put family and peer risk and promotive factors into the model, the only thing that remains significantly associated with consistent condom use across adolescence was the promotive factors in both peer and family domains. Risk was not associated either. When we added substance use, we saw that substance use was negatively associated with consistent condom use, as you would expect. But interestingly, family and peer promotive factors, their significant association remained in spite of the youth substance use. So what this suggests is perhaps a compensatory model of resiliency, where parent and peer promotive factors may counteract the negative influences of parents or peers and youth substance use. And this is important to think because typically it shows that peer and parent domains interact in important ways, And I think in the past we've sort of demonized peers as tending to have very negative influences and families being much more protective. And here we can see that they can actually work together in very nice ways. So finally, we conducted a path analysis, putting it all together. And here we found that, as on the previous slide, we saw that family promotive and peer promotive factors were positively associated, directly associated, with youth consistent condom use over time. And what we also found were that family risk and peer risk factors were indirectly associated with youth condom use via youth's use of substances. So what this means in this particular sample is that youth who are in family environments that are characterized by risk, so for this sample, parental substance use, high family conflict, and also associate with peers who engage in delinquent behaviors and also use drugs, are at greater likelihood to use substances themselves. And then here we see the relationship there. And through that, they're less likely to use condoms over time. So here we see an indirect relationship. So implications for informing safer sex interventions, what do these findings mean? As my colleagues here have all said, focusing on reducing youth substance use as a strategy to increase condom use is definitely something that we need to do. While families and peers have definitely emerged as platforms for intervention in HIV risk reduction interventions for youth, there are a few interventions out there that directly target both families and peers. And maybe it's something to think about to in some way incorporate both of these domains within one given intervention and focus building upon strengths while also managing or reducing the risk associated with these domains. And finally, these data do show that parents have an effect across time. It doesn't lessen off. They are important, even though we think that as youth age, they want to move away from their families and their friends or their peer groups become more salient. Well, these data suggest that parents still do still matter. And so interventions might also want to perhaps repeatedly reinforce the parent promotive or protective factors across adolescence in order to promote sexual health in African American youth. Limitations. These results may only be generalizable to youth in who reside in economically disadvantaged urban areas. Flint, Michigan is certainly that. The predictors examined in the present study only accounted for a moderate amount of the variance in substance use and condom use across adolescents. It's possible that we also need to look at, we only looked at a few risk and promotive factors. We might want to include others as well in the model and expand our analyses. And then finally, our data were based on self-report. And I just want to thank the funders. This grant was funded in part by a grant from the National Institute of Drug Abuse. And also the National Institute of Mental Health, as supported by myself and my colleague, Dr. Baumeister, through our respective K awards. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Do we have time for questions? I know it's been a long day, and God only knows where our body clocks are between time change and distance change. Anyone from the panel would like to?
Yeah, I have a question. For Larry, actually. Just to clarify for me, so the most frequent substance used with sex was crack cocaine in the sample. But then for specific sexual behaviors, like receptive anal, or anal sex with a male partner, you say the only substance that was associated with that was marijuana. So marijuana and alcohol. So what you're saying is that the only substance that kind of predicted that particular practice with that partner was marijuana, or are you saying that that had the highest frequency with unprotected in excess?
A form.
Okay. All right. So even though crack was sort of everywhere.
Right.
Okay. All right. I think I...
Before we leave for our, wherever we're going to go and take our shoes off tonight, remind you that the HIV section is meeting tomorrow night in room 701 in this building at 6:30 tomorrow night. So if you can attend, that would be great. So thank you very much. Thank you very much. As a father of two adolescent boys, I want to thank you for this great presentation. I'm going to go call them both. Thank you.